I'm sure most of us have asked that sometime in our lives. In fact, in a phone call, a friend said just that this week. When suffering occurs, it's a human reaction, isn't it, to try and find some reason for it. And we often turn first to thinking that perhaps we brought it on ourselves, either literally, I tripped because I wasn't looking, the house burnt down because I forgot to blow out the candle, or perhaps more subtly, through our hidden sins. What did I do to deserve this? We know not really believe we did anything, but still we say it. In many societies, of course, this is more than words. People do believe in a direct link between sin and suffering. There are still witch doctors in some parts of the world, and people turn to them for explanations of suffering, perhaps a spell cast by an enemy, and they'll even sell you a way of getting your own back and deliberately causing harm to someone else. But if suffering's not caused by a human enemy, perhaps it's caused by God as divine punishment for wrongdoing. Such beliefs are widespread, and they even linger below the surface in societies which might overtly discount them. So it's interesting to see what Jesus has to say when he's asked about this. In the passage I just read, his questioners refer to two recent incidents. In the first, some people from Galilee were killed deliberately by the Romans whilst at their prayers. Sadly, that still happens today. The second incident was an accident. 18 people were clearly killed by a falling building. Not a deliberate act, but still resulting in death to those involved. Were those who died in these incidents worse sinners than anyone else? Was it bad luck, divine punishment? In both cases, Jesus is clear that they were not to blame. But twice he says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." It seems the clue to this apparently contradictory reply lies in the distinction between physical and spiritual death. In terms of our human lives, accidents, even terrible events, such as murder, do happen and are not always anyone's fault. Sometimes, of course, there is a perpetrator, but they're not necessarily anyone's fault. But we do have responsibility for our own spiritual life and death. I'll come later to the parable of the fig tree, but first let's look at the other readings. That hymn that we've just sung, I'm not sure it was the tune you're familiar with, and it's a slightly tricky one, but "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God." We actually know precisely when that was written, strangely. It was written by the poet William Cowper on the 9th of December 1769. It speaks of a longing for God. It was a time when the poet was deeply anxious. His housekeeper, his close friend, was very ill, and it provoked a spiritual crisis for him. He was anxious for her life. He was anxious for how he would manage if she were to die. And he longs for a closer walk with God. Psalm 63 also speaks eloquently of a thirst for God, and Isaiah tells of God's longing to give us all that is good. "Come unto me, all you who thirst." It's a beautiful, beautiful passage, which I've often looked at. It contains both promise and warning. This is not a God who's watching out for us to go wrong so that he can punish us with suffering, but a loving parent just longing to shower us with good things, even when we don't buy them or earn them. But we do have to accept the gift. Isaiah goes on to urge his readers to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, and to repent. And that reminds us of the words of Jesus. Now, many of us who are parents know the feeling of wanting our children to have and enjoy good things, and the sorrow sometimes of watching them fail to take our advice or follow ways that we're sure will lead to unhappiness. Of course, sometimes we're wrong, and their own ways are right for them. But at other times, our greater experience may give us insights that they lack. We yearn, don't we, to give those we love all that is good, but often they don't want to receive it. And if that's the case in our human relationships, how much more it must be so for God, who sees the pitfalls we fall into time after time. Now, looking at Paul's writing, our epistle reading is headed Warnings from Israel's History. He endorses the belief that human suffering does not come only on those who are bad, with the following words: "No testing has overcome you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." Now, I confess, and this is perhaps a lack of faith in me, that I'm never quite sure about the promise that we'll not be tested beyond our strength. Even in my very sheltered and comfortable life, I often seem rather near the limit. And when I look round, I see people suffering in ways they surely cannot be expected to endure. Nevertheless, I do firmly believe that God gives us strength if we turn to him. We can't always explain suffering. There's certainly no simple link between human desert and suffering. Bad things happen to good people all the time. Whether our lives are short or long, whether we have lives that are happy or lives that are full of suffering, we do all die. On Ash Wednesday, we said, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But we must distinguish between physical death and spiritual death. It's our belief that God promises eternal life to those who turn to him, starting right now. This isn't about pie in the sky when we die. It's about now, the life we can live with him. What's more, his parable of the barren fig tree speaks of God's mercy and patience, offering time for repentance, time to turn to him. As Isaiah puts it, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Lent is a time when we seek in different ways to draw closer to God. It's a sort of check-up time. Like Cowper, this may be at times of difficulty or when we're anxious. Although God longs to give us good things, we do have to ask. We do have to repent, to turn to him. We can't just carry on in our own ways, in our own strength. Paul tells his readers, "Watch out. If you think you're standing, watch that you do not fall." Just as accidents happen most easily when we're not alert, so too we're in most spiritual danger at times when we think we're doing well and forget that we need God's help. Often the times of trial and suffering are not spiritually the times of most danger for us, since they are times that we may well look for God's help. But when we're doing fine, when we're complacent, those are times of spiritual danger. So Lent is a good time to remind ourselves of that. Also to remind ourselves that what God longs to do for us, simply for the asking, and of the strength that he gives. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, says Isaiah. Amen.